Grew up in North Carolina. I don't think you're required to know this song, but it just kind of seeped in. You'll remember it. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Yes, please sing along. Second verse. No one could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. Next verse. When the morning glories twine around my door, whispering pretty stories. Okay, well, you get the idea. We're done. You're good. If you're still here with us, if you still have a heartbeat, you're good. You're safe now. But growing up in North Carolina, out in the country, and we had a really big garden. We had some acres, several acres, and a few acres worth of garden. And so it was great. We had this red clay. Now, I mentioned last week that all the years that we were in Texas, especially in Houston, we got black gumbo soil. Real sticky, very high clay content. Not the best to grow stuff in. Well, in North Carolina, it's red clay. Not quite as high clay content as that black gumbo, but red clay, still high clay content. It's sweet to me, right? That's just the thought of that red clay soil. You know, that's where I grew up. It's sweet to me. Well, we would till. I would till. My mom and dad are here, and dad would till. We'd be out there, work that. We'd cultivate that soil. We had a big compost pit to make that soil better and better. But it's interesting, these morning glories that are in the song, well, they really do twine around things. That's part of how they work, and they're beautiful, vivid colors. I've got a few pictures here for you. They are so vivid that as a kid, when we would be out there and I was working the garden, and the morning, and this doesn't do it justice, but there's lots of, if you're not familiar with morning glories, they're just vivid, deep, rich blues and reds and purples and pinks. They're just gorgeous, gorgeous flowers. They're called morning glories because in the morning, those blossoms open up and they look just like that, but just prettier. And then as the sun begins to get hot, they close back up. They're just beautiful, beautiful flowers. Well, working the garden, it was interesting. The morning glories, the seeds of those morning glories, if they could find cultivated soil, soft, worked soil, they love. So they would always be right on the edges of the garden. That's where I could pick those blossoms. I thought the blossoms were so pretty. I used to press them in books. I know that sounds a little artistic, but yes, a little bit, you know. But they were just gorgeous flowers. But they would come on the edges of the garden, but we had to work hard to keep them only on the edges. Because the thing about a morning glory is it twines around things like tomato plants, and it'll kill the tomato plant. Because the nature of the morning glory is it works its way around anything it can find to climb up, and it'll strangle every other plant in your garden. It's beautiful, but you can't let it get in your garden. If you want to have tomatoes and cucumbers and bell peppers, you can't let this morning glory get in your garden, because the whole point, we talked about it last week, and remember, it's the point of Jesus' parable here, the parable of the soils. The whole point, the big picture of his parable is that the sower, who in the parable really is God, the sower gives out the seed, and that's the word. And he's looking for a return on his investment. He's looking for the seed that he throws out to bring a harvest, a manifold harvest. Remember, 30, 60, 100-fold. We're going to read it in just a moment. Well, that's what the Lord is looking for in your life and my life. That's his heartbeat. Well, the soil that we're going to look at today, there's some dangers that we've got to be aware of. Some dangers that we've got to be tending to if we want to produce a fruitful harvest for the Lord. If we want His Word to be multiplied in our lives so that we bear fruit in the kingdom of God, and that's what He's got for us. That's His heartbeat for us. Remember, that's why He leaves us on the earth. We're going to praise Him perfectly. I just had an awesome time praising the risen Lord with y'all just a minute ago. But you know, we're going to do that perfectly for eternity. He leaves us here because He's looking for a harvest. He wants His Word to find soft, cultivated soil in us and bear fruit, manifold fruit in you and me. And so that's why we're here. So that's a little sneak peek on where we're going today. We're gonna talk about those morning glories and things like that. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's invite the Lord to speak to us through His Word, by His Holy Spirit. Because what we're after here is changed life. What we're after is a life that we just sang. We want our fragrance, the fragrance of a heart that's like soft soil. We want Him to penetrate our hearts and win so that there's a real fragrance that really arises to Him, that's a blessing to Him. All right? So let's pray. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before You because we need You. We come before You because You have met our need. Lord, we just sang about You making the weak strong. Well, Lord, we're the weak. And we need You to make us strong. Lord, what we're going to read about today, what we're going to study on today, there are things in this passage that we all struggle with. It's just part of our human sinful condition. And Lord, we want to let You win. We want You to be in control of the soil of our hearts. We want You to penetrate. We want You to find a soft place for Your word, Your grace, Your truth in us so that fragrance, the fragrance of Jesus can come out of us and rise to You. So Lord, help us. Lead us. Lord, we welcome You to encourage us, but we also welcome You to convict us. Lord, will You want us to tend to the soil of our hearts? We pray that You would guide us. We want to give You soft hearts, fertile soil to work in. And we pray You'll do that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Mark 4. We're going to read the whole parable and its explanation again. Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. Okay. Oh, and I put one or two other pictures. This shows you how morning glories, how they twine around things. That's a kind of a morning glory shoot. And then one more. This is a morning glory vine at the base of a post. You can see how that will strangle anything. Well, that's where we're going today. That's the soil we're going to be talking about today. Soil that struggles with that. So Mark 4, 1 through 20. Jesus, He began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to Him that He got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And He was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in His teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns." Now this is where we're going today. "Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And He was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as He was alone, His followers, along with the 12, began asking Him about the parables. And He was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So there's the parable, and there's the explanation of the parable, each of the four soils in their turn. But before we walk into the parable again, I want us to do one more thing. We touched on this last week. We'll touch on it again this week and next. Remember, Jesus says in verse 9, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The whole heartbeat of a parable is that people who are rejecting Jesus, they'll hear something that's a truism, an illustration, but because their heart is not inclined toward Jesus, they still hear the parable, but they don't respond. And they don't lean in to understand the parable, to get the point. You know, the point of analogy is not the illustration, it's the thing that is designed to help you understand. So Jesus is crying out to everyone who hears this parable. If you've got ears, listen. Not just with your physical ears. James 1:22 says this, "But prove yourselves doers of the word." Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And this is the danger. This is the danger even for us today. Not just for Jesus' original hearers. Now, I don't think people don't come to a church service on a Sunday morning at a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church because they're rejecting Jesus. No. But we can still be hard of hearing. There's still places in my heart and in your heart where sometimes that soil gets a little packed. And we can be in need of some cultivating. We need to take the tiller to the land and soften the soil. We need to pull some weeds, some things that are trying to get in there. So Jesus, by way of extension, is calling out to you and to me. If you have ears, hear with your heart. That's what he's saying. Hear with your heart. Lean in. Seek understanding. And let my word find a sweet home in your heart. So what we've got today we're looking at the thorny soil, the third soil that Jesus talks about. So here it is, verse 19. This is his explanation of what that thorny soil represents. He says, "The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So we're going to take each of these three things that he mentions about this thorny soil. We're going to try to understand this thorny soil. But remember, our goal is not just to understand the thorny soil, it's to do something about it, right? What we're after is to not have this kind of soil be in our hearts. So we're going to take these three one by one. One by one. So the first, the worries of the world. The worries of the world. The word that's used here for worries, the root word, it means to be drawn in different directions. So you can see where the idea of worry or anxiety comes from. To be drawn in different directions. You can see where worry might be the idea. That is the idea. But I want you to see that in the root, the base of it is an idea really of distraction. And that's what's going on here. Distraction. He says the worries of the world. And the idea of world, the word, that the phrase that's used for world here, it doesn't mean like the earth. It actually means this present era, as opposed to eternity. So if we put those ideas together, what Jesus is saying is that the distractions of this present time that want to pull us away from what's eternal, the distractions of things going on in our life here and now. Now, don't think these have to be evil things. Right? Well, I've got to go to the grocery store, and I've got to finish the laundry, and I've got to vacuum the house. I've got to go to work. I've got to take the kids to school. I mean, that's just the stuff of everyday life here and now. There's nothing evil in any of those things. But those distractions, Jesus said that the distractions of this present age, of the temporal, here and now, that those distractions, that they're trying to work something in us. They're trying to work something in the soil of our hearts that doesn't leave room for the Word of God to have its way. Those things are trying to crowd out what really matters, which is eternal. What really matters, which is forever. Just yesterday, I got an email from, I try to give you guys, sometimes I'll give you quotes from, like Bible scholars or people that you may have heard of or whatever. Well, I got an email from somebody, and I think I'm calling him Dr. Ed Krupka today. He was sitting right down here where his son and family are right now. He was sitting right down here in first service, and on the signature line of Dr. Ed Krupka, I don't know if he's actually a doctor, but I think I may have just, yeah, I know. He was like, thanks for giving me the press today. But Ed Krupka, in the signature line of his email, he's got three phrases, and two of them are quotes, and he gives the quote, he ascribes the quote to whoever said it. But the very first line in his email signature says this: this life is not the main event. I actually emailed him right back. I Googled it before I heard back. I was like, who said this life is not the main event? And Google said, we got nothing for you. Well, they just haven't heard enough of Dr. Ed Krupka, who you and I know as Ed Krupka. The full line that Ed put there, he said, this life is not the main event. Eternity is all that matters. This life is not the main event. Well, you know what? What Ed is saying there is exactly along the line of this particular issue of the thorny ground. There are distractions of this life that aren't necessarily even evil, but they are trying to crowd out the things that really matter. Some friends of ours from back in Houston, they have four kids, and I think it's their third child, but I'm not sure. But they lost their 18-year-old son just a few weeks ago to this brain-eating amoeba. He was working, his kid, he was serving at a Christian camp there a few hours outside of Houston. He was there as a counselor. And he died pretty quickly. And the dad and I are Facebook friends, and so I've been watching things that he posts on Facebook. It's really a beautiful gift to all of us. He's been posting just kind of from his own heart and how he's processing that the Lord would take his son. And one of the things that this dad said, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't do this well, and my kids are here, and I got to be honest, I see my son sitting right there. Hey, Boog. But this dad, he shared how some time ago the Lord challenged him to, if at all possible, whenever his kids asked if he would play with them, that if at all possible he would drop whatever it was that was going on or pressing him and he would go play with them. And he posted a short video of a time not too long ago when one of his younger children and this particular son, they had come to him and said, hey, Daddy, will you come rollerblading with us? And he posted a short video of him, and you can see this son that is now face to face with Jesus. See, there are all kinds of distractions that are trying to pull you and me away from things that are of forever value. And I'm just going to be honest with you, I don't do this well. As I say this, I'm as convicted as maybe you are. But what could be more valuable? What could be more eternal than building into the next generation? Than loving on the next generation, than walking alongside the next generation. I can't think of anything that would be more valuable than that, whether it's your own child or someone else, maybe even an adult that's looking to you. The distractions of this present age, this temporal, physical life that we're living right now, the five senses that are so about here and now, they're creating distractions that are trying to push us away from the things that really matter. And in the context, remember the context is how the Word of God is able to work in the soil of our hearts, how we receive or not the Word of God, how we allow it to work so it can yield a crop, a fruitful harvest for the Lord, for His kingdom. And we get blessed along the way. So distractions, the worries of the world, the distractions of this present age. You know, we just sang one of my favorite hymns, Be Thou My Vision. And one of those lines, you and you only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure, thou art. You and you only, first in my heart. And that's what this is about. That's what this thorny ground is about. The thorny ground heard the word, but didn't keep out the other things that are trying to choke the word so that it's unfruitful and produces no crop. This is about, Jesus, how do I make you and keep you first, you and you only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, with no close second. And the truth is, there are things, some evil and worldly, but many and probably most of the distractions of the world, it's just part of life. I got to get up. I got to get something to eat. No, I don't have time for you today. I don't have time for you right now, Lord. I don't have time to just pull aside and dig deep into the Word of God and let you wash my thinking and cleanse me and help take thoughts captive that are not of you. No, I don't. Distractions. Things that pull us away. But we got to understand from this parable, from what Jesus is saying, there's something really deeply spiritual going on in simple temporal distractions that can trip us up. As surely as that morning glory is twining around my tomatoes, trying to choke the life out. So this is the first one, the worries of the world. The second one, the phrase he uses here is the deceitfulness of riches. This word deceitfulness, think something insidious, like a siren song, something that's trying to seduce. That's the picture here. Something that's trying to woo us without us even realizing it. And what is it here? It's riches. And the word that's used here for riches, it just means worldly wealth. I mean, it means stuff. It doesn't just, I don't want you to just think money. Think stuff. Think stuff. Now, many of you know that I like firearms. I like shooting. If it goes bang, I like to pull the trigger on it, okay? Just fun, okay? And as my dad mentioned earlier, he said we can probably blame him for that, which is true, because I can't remember growing up not being around firearms and the smell of spent powder in the morning. That's good stuff. Well, I've got a neat collection of firearms. The vast majority have actually been given to me by my dad. And no, I'm not sharing. Guys, you can't have him for a dad. He's all mine. But here's the deal. I've got a lot of neat firearms. Several years ago, some of them I've bought, but the vast majority really have been given to me. Well, several years ago, I did something. I put myself on a self-imposed gun-buying moratorium. And I did that because I began to realize that my cool guns, my fun guns, guns that I love, when I think of shooting, I think of being with guys and just being men together and gals, you're welcome to come too. Sometimes. But I put myself on a self-imposed gun-buying moratorium because I began to realize that my guns were trying to hold me. Stuff. Stuff. Money. Material goods. God never says money's evil. He never says money's evil. Let's look at some scripture here really quickly. This is in 1 Timothy. So this is the older apostle Paul writing to a young pastor Timothy. Young, fearful pastor Timothy. I can relate, not so much to the young part, but to the fearful part sometimes. But look at what Paul writes to his young protege. He says, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." That sounds a lot like this thorny soil, doesn't it? He says, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then the older Paul gives this great command. And it is a command to young Timothy. He says, but flee from these things, you man of God. You know, there's a few places in the Bible, most of the places in the Bible where God is guiding us through understanding about things that are coming against us and how we do spiritual warfare. Most of the time he says something like, stand and resist. Hold your ground. But this is one of those places, one of the few places where God says, pin your ears back, tuck your tail and run. You are not meant to try to stand and this one will chew you up. I made you to run away from this. This is not for you, O man of God, or O woman of God, or O child of God. This one, he says, this idolatry with stuff, he says, you run. You run. You run fast. But flee from these things, you man of God. And then he tells, I love it. He didn't just say run away. He tells us where to run to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He says, run away from that idolatry of stuff, the stuff that's trying to hold you. You can hold it. Stuff is just a tool. You know what's really neat? As a younger believer, I never realized that my enjoyment of firearms could actually be useful for the kingdom of God. But it is. All the years I was a youth pastor, I took kids out. We took so many groups of kids out, and we all came back. Everybody made it. We had a great time, guys and gals. You know what? Girls tend to be better shots than boys right off the bat because guys just want to make it go bang. You know, girls are actually listening to instruction. Okay, what do I do now? Okay, sweetie, good job. But I took a lot of kids. And then as I moved into adult ministry, you know what? I've been out with so many men, and we just have a great time. It's just a place for guys to be guys together, to be men together, enjoying something that's a sweet gift from the Lord. I never realized that God could take something so that brings such joy to my soul and that he could actually use it for the kingdom. And that's what I pursue to do now. What about you? Can you use some of the stuff that God has entrusted to you for the kingdom? Where you get to enjoy it. Just be careful that you hold it, and I might add, with open hands. Because it's the Lord's stuff. I don't care if it's a car or a house or a firearm or a golf club or whatever. It's the Lord's stuff. And your ability to use it, that's the Lord's too. That he's entrusted to you for a moment. We're like a vapor, right? Just for a moment. We're a mist. Be careful that you hold the stuff and the stuff doesn't hold you. Because according to this, there's an innate deceit, a deception that is always trying to trip us up here with stuff and money. And we've got to fight that fight. And it is our fight to fight. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus wants you to fight this fight well. So there's the first we see, distractions. Next we see the deceitfulness of stuff. And then we're going to look at the third thing he mentions in this thorny soil, the desires for other things. If you've got a King James, the word for desires is the word lust. But don't think it really just means a strong desire. It doesn't mean the way we use the word lust today in a sexual context. It's not that. It just means a strong desire for something. Now, oftentimes the word is used for an evil desire, but it doesn't have to be. Just think a strong desire, a desire for other things. He makes a big catch-all phrase and says desires for other things. It could be anything. It's kind of a fill-in-the-blank, pick your poison. It could be anything. Anything in our lives that we allow to grow, that we give the nourishment that we should give to the Word of God. Anything that we welcome into our lives that's trying to crowd out the supernatural, spiritual, eternal things that really matter for the temporal and material things that we're all going to say goodbye to in just a moment, in just a twinkling of an eye. You know, I've thought, one of the things that helps me in how I hold things like firearms is I think, okay, I may die in a car wreck or something, you know, but if the Lord, you know, chooses, or as Bert mentioned to me today, or the Lord could come back today, right? Either way, but maybe I'll actually be on a deathbed and know that I'm about to see Jesus. And you know what? When I'm on my deathbed, if the Lord gives me that experience, when I'm on my deathbed, I will not ever say, man, I wish I'd spent more time with my firearms. Right? I wish I'd spent more time cleaning them and drooling on them. I won't do that. You know what I might say? I might say, I wish I'd spent more time giving myself to my kids. I might say, I wish I'd spent more time soaking in the Lord's Word and letting Him marinate me so that I smell and look more like Jesus every day. But I won't regret putting those distractions aside. I won't regret the deception that I turned away from by making sure that those things aren't holding me. I won't regret those things on my deathbed. I won't, and neither will you. You and I will rejoice. If the Lord lets us be on a deathbed, we will rejoice that we let the Word of God win in us, that we made time, and everybody here is busy, but that we made time to say, Jesus, wash me. Cleanse my thinking. Help me to take the wrong thoughts captive to you. If it's not of you, Lord, let me shackle it and shut it down. I want to think thoughts that are of you today, about me and about you and about everybody I'll meet along the way. That's what He's got for us. Because remember, the whole point is that we bear fruit, that our lives are a sweet, fertile soil that His Word can bear fruit out of. That's what He's after. That's what He's after. So let me give you a few ideas of what could be the, you know, this other desires. Just a few ideas. It could be any number of things, but just a few things for you to consider. It could be your spouse. And maybe you say, now hold it, Mike, you know, I'm not supposed to love anybody like I love my spouse. Well, no. You're not supposed to love anybody like you love your Redeemer. You're not supposed to love anybody like you love God. Your spouse comes next. If you're married, your spouse comes next. But, you know, even our spouse, not intentionally at all, but sometimes we can put our spouse before we put the Lord. That can trip us up. What about your kids? Here I am preaching, you know, set aside these distractions and spend time with your kids. But, you know, I hear this thing in the world a lot. It's all about the kids. No, it's not. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord and His grace and His truth. That's what life on this earth is about. Now, love your kids. Raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But your life is not all about your kids. And that's a very worldly lie. That the world thinks sounds upright somehow. But if you leave Jesus out of the mix, then you're messed up. Your priorities are off. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. No close second. Your job. Workaholism is rampant in our society, right? We've talked about it before. We wear our busyness like a badge. Workaholism. You know, none of us is going to regret on a deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. None of us, right? Even me, I'm a pastor. But time in my office, that's not why I'm a pastor. I got to get my study time. But that's not why God called me to be a shepherd. What about control? Control. All of us, I believe everybody struggles with control issues. Some of us maybe wear them on our sleeve more than others, but the reality is we all struggle. Some of us really are stuck in a place where we're trying to control our own lives and everyone around us, and you know what? You can't. You can't. You can't control anybody. It's hard enough for me to control me. I cannot control anybody else. Not possible. God hasn't called me to that. He's called me to love and walk alongside people, but I can't control anybody. That's called manipulation, and it's false. It's not of God. What about when unforgiveness leads to resentment, leads to bitterness? And we got to be honest. We're followers of Jesus, and we struggle with this. We struggle with this. God has called us to forgive the same way that we've been forgiven. Right? The Father doesn't declare us forgiven because we do so well or because we haven't sinned against Him. He declares us forgiven because when He looks at us, if you're in Jesus, He looks at you and He sees Jesus. And he sees the payment that Jesus has made. We sang about it. But you know, other desires. I got to tell you, I've struggled with this myself. Every one of us here has to be willing to forgive people that have hurt us. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, we all receive hurts. And sometimes we can get into a hard place in our heart that just says, I don't want to, and I won't. And you know what? that's going to trip you up. That's going to create one of those places where that vine is twining right around your lifeblood, and it will shut down the Word of God in you. We don't want that. We want to see God's Word win in us. Another idea, what about entertainment, pleasure? I struggle with this one a lot. Entertainment. Lord, can I've been there, I did the work. I just want to feed me now. I just want to chill. I just want to fall asleep in front of the idiot box or television. I want to play a computer game. I want to read a fun book, you know, that's just for fun. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but we've got to be careful that we don't let those desires for ease or comfort or entertainment, because the nature of the beast here is that those things want more. And they want to go from a down here shelf that's appropriate to up here that should be for one and one only, that high king. So there's those three things, those distractions and the deception of stuff and these other desires. But I want us to look at one other phrase here before we finish up. One other phrase. I don't know how that got there. I hit a button, and so I'm going to fly through these real quick. I want us to look at one other phrase, and it's the phrase towards the end. Choke. All right, let's back it up here. Choke the word. These things want to enter in. See, just like that soft soil, you till that soil so the word can get in, so the seeds can get in, but other stuff's trying to get in too. So these three things, these distractions and this deception and these other desires, they're trying to get in. They enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The word for choke here, it's translated, the same word is translated a handful of different ways in the New Testament. It's translated strangle, drown, here choke. Well, you get the idea. It means it's the verb, it means something's trying to shut down what you need to live. It's trying to shut down what something needs to thrive, to be robust and vibrant. So these three things, they're trying to come in and choke out, shut down the Word of God in us, so that the Word of God ultimately cannot bear the fruit that God wants it to bear in you and in me. And the point is, we become unfruitful. Unfruitful. So let me look at we're going to look at one other verse here. We're going to run to 1 Peter. I'll read it to you. I don't know what, or 2 Peter. I don't know what happened to the PowerPoint, but it's all good. I think I hit a wrong button. Or maybe it's later on. So before we get there, to have an undistracted heart, or as we sang it, to let the fragrance of our hearts arise to God. To let the fragrance of our hearts rise to God. To have a soft soil of our hearts. Hey, thank you. Thank you. You guys rock. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, I'm going to read it to you. He says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful." And there's the goal. We don't want to live lives where we render ourselves by our choices, by what we do with the soul of our hearts. We don't want to render ourselves useless or unfruitful. The whole goal, the whole point of Jesus' parable in Mark 4 is that the sower sows the word and he's looking for a harvest. He's looking for a fruitful harvest in our lives. He says, "They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we're after. That's what we're after. So I've got these ideas for you. These ideas for you. First, realize the cost. And by this, I don't mean, you know, the scriptures tell us, Jesus tells us, if you're going to do something for the Lord, count the cost. But I mean this actually, the flip side. On the flip side of that is, if you're going to choose distractions or to let deception grab a hold of you or other desires, count the cost. Realize that the cost will be to you an unfruitful life. And remember, God is the one looking for a harvest. If I make this about what I want, right? Well, this is about what God wants through me. Well, here's the neat thing. When you and I live the way that God wants us to live, with a soft, fertile soil, God gets a fruitful harvest, but along the way, you and I do too. You and I do too. We get blessed along the way. There's nothing better than to be in the sweet spot of just following Jesus. And that doesn't mean perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. It just means I'm following close. I'm pursuing a humble heart. I'm tending to the things that are trying to get in there and choke out the Word of God. I'm tending to relationships where maybe there's a brokenness. I'm tending to sins that I'm convicted of by the Holy Spirit. I'm keeping those accounts short because I want that Word to thrive. I want His Word to be the one thing that's strong in me. Or we can lean into spiritual growth, like what we just read about there in Peter. And lastly, get help. Sometimes we just got to get some help. You know, each one of us is made not only for close fellowship with the Lord, but He made us for close fellowship with each other. That's not an optional thing, just so you know. If you and I are going to thrive spiritually, if we're going to have a soft, fertile soil of our hearts and knock out these thorns that are trying to shut down the Word of God in us, we have to rely on each other. God commands us over and over to treat each other in certain ways. Well, how can I do that if I'm not getting help? If I'm not letting you in, and if I'm not welcoming you in, right? Both, if I'm not seeking to be able to speak into your life, not as a pastor, as a brother, as a fellow follower, and you into my life. We need each other. You know, in James, he gives one of the commands. He says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. We just sang, the weak made strong. We need each other. How on earth can I confess my sin to you? How can you confess your sin to me and us to one another if we're not in close relationship together? Receiving help and giving help, it means that we've got to drop the masks that we all struggle with. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm tempted to wear masks. I want you to think better of me. I want you to like me. I want you to think I'm somebody that's always thinking of Jesus, always doing. You know what? That's not me. I struggle. But I'm in the fight. And I need you to help me in the fight. We need each other. So a few ideas for you. So we're gonna sing a quick song because it's a great song. It's the perfect song for where we are, for what we're doing. So as we close out, just consider, as we sing this song, go ahead and hit it one more time for me, Athena. So as we close out, I want you to consider, how can I clear out the distractions? There's distractions, deceptions, and desires for other things that are trying to get into the soil of my heart. How can I do a little weeding today? How can I clear those distractions out? How can I let the soil of my heart be free and clear and soft for God's Word to come in? So we're going to sing. Come on.
So let's stand together. We will sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. This is a song that really talks about just getting our focus on Jesus and away from the things of this earth. Let's sing this together.
Thank you.
So today, it's a hot day out there, but we have some gardening to do, don't we? We have some weeding to do in our hearts. One of the things that that Pastor Mike mentioned was about the need to be pouring into the next generation, and it reminded me that I forgot to have John Desiderio come up and talk about a need in our Awana program and some other of our young people programs, how there are some needs available for you to participate in that. And maybe that's one of the things today, is applying that and seeking, Lord, do you want me to be involved in that? But no doubt there are other needs as well. And I hope that today you can be really tending your heart, tending your garden, pulling out the thorns that are growing up, as beautiful as they may be, pulling them out. Let's pray together now. Father, don't let this leave us today. Don't allow the distraction of the rest of this day, the worries of the world, or the desires of our hearts to pull us away from your word. Open our eyes to see what is entangling the word of God from growing in our hearts. Our desire as individuals and as a group of people, a church, our desire is that we would be fruitful, that your word would be bearing fruit richly among each one of us and among us as a body of believers. Lord, weed out these things, that we would be just that for you, fruitful, useful. Help us as we go today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us today.